In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Do you think that I've come to bring peace on the earth? Jesus asks this, and then he answers, "No, I tell you, but rather division." The cost of following Jesus comes into focus as Jesus, the Prince of Peace, says, from now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two against three, they will be divided, father against son against father, daughter against mother-in-law, and mother-in-law against her daughter. Yikes! Yikes. Boy, this is a hard one this morning. Jesus experiences this separation himself with his own family, which was torn by his own ministry. Though Jesus' mother, Mary, would be with him at the cross, the gospel tells us that there was a time when his family wanted to bring him home, and they wondered if Jesus had gone stark, raving mad. And he's well aware of this, and it's just the beginning of the ways that the path he offers will divide many people, even as a new community comes into being. The passionate response of Jesus seems to be to us very angry and divisive. It's his passionate mission to recreate a society based on the principles of a new law. This law turns upside down the power structures of the day. His parables and lessons confuse and disrupt the status quo. They confuse us, the order of things that were known in his day. The urgency of people in Jesus' day, as they yell out, "Crucify him," was very much to turn back God's own mission itself. Imagine that. The urgency of God's people of Jesus' day, as they yell out, "Crucify him," was to turn back God's own mission in his work. Jesus' passion is so strong. This directive coming from God demonstrates his ability in his own obedience to give himself away completely through crucifixion on the cross. God's inbreaking into the world has been laid out since the beginning. And Jesus' experiences and he lives out this intense desire to change the world as a living and loving sacrifice, even at the cost of family, the primal structure of an ordered society. He's eager to see it happen, but there is no resolution without a profound change in power and purification. He's well aware of the difficulty. It's a whole new world and a whole new way of relating. Like then, division is the language of our current day. What is the urgency for us? It's the same, the presence of God's inbreaking. Jesus' sacrifice took place inside of that cultural urgency and was manifest to all. God's presence in his very own being as a person, fully God, fully human. This urgency has continued throughout the millennia and is very present with us today. So as we think about it, how do we deny God through Jesus? In Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah calls us forward in urgency as well in the direction of this gospel. We don't know how to interpret the present time. Division, like I said before, is the language of our current time. What is the urgency? Again, it's recognizing the presence of God in all things. With division and polarities, collectively, our best and brightest have a hard time with interpretation. There's now a new question before us, not who's right and who's wrong, but how do we come together with our self-described certainties, our ideologies, and avoid self-righteousness? No preacher is going to set forward a policy of legislation, but the church needs to be the church. There needs to be repentance. There needs to be reconciliation. Who do we claim as family? Who do you claim as family? Something to think about. In July, I participated in a one-week retreat entitled Boundless Compassion. 12 of my fellow Christians accompanied me at the Notre Dame Retreat Center in Canandaigua, New York. This included 4 very close partners of mine with whom I practice centering prayer each and every week as a spiritual practice, and with whom I share in the family of Christ. Upon the completion of the program, we are now trained facilitators in order to offer the principles and practices of its content. The mission statement claims compassion as an essential part of a society seeking peace and harmony. It goes on to say that compassion needs nurturing and development for further expression. Its principles seek, as Jesus did, to create a community of people bringing compassion into personal life, into community, and into the world. As the center of our lived experiences, we approach one another with true respect, we grow in an ability to lessen suffering, and we carry an intention to encourage others to live compassionately. Not easy work, never perfect, never complete. But this, I believe, is the emerging family that Jesus is talking about. Where then does Scripture connect with this boundless compassion, our Scripture today? Well, I was thinking about that and I thought, wow, you know, love one another as I have loved you. There's a start. We have a tendency to marginalize others as a response to our reptilian brains, our brains. So do you know that in each second, 4 times in that second, our brains are trying to figure out if we're encountering a threat. So this is part of our human biology. We can't escape this. It's a flight or fight response to stimuli. Culturally, though, in our day-to-day, this is dehumanizing to a large extent, and it demands our conscious effort and intention to pattern ourselves into a compassionate response. It doesn't always need to be that way, fight or flight, but we're enculturated, we're indoctrinated through news, through our media streams, social streams, to set that up for ourselves. So we're always thinking distinction, being set apart from another. Instead of, you're different from me, go away, consider, you're different from me, come and teach me what I need to know. And how do we do this in the age of globalization, where confusion runs rampant in all the world, in countries and power structures and governments? It's hard enough for us to maneuver through our own days and challenges. Yet Jesus focuses on his perspective of each human brother and sister. Jesus experienced no division with anyone. Think about it. Even those who betrayed him on the cross, he prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Elizabeth Johnson writes, "There will be no justice until each person is satisfied being anyone in the world, in any situation, anywhere. There will be no justice until each person is satisfied being anyone in the world, anywhere." I commend you to meditate on this startling quote of hers. In practice, one may take on the example of a person on the margins, such as a middle-aged man addicted to opioids, a 10-year-old boy soldier with a rebel group, a 13-year-old girl pregnant from an uncle who raped her, a blind woman begging on the street, a family living among the rubble of a bombed village. There's many more examples. There are a few of them there. But these are those who Jesus considers family. They are the marginalized. Can we consider them family? His last question in today's gospel passage is, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but you do not know how to interpret the present time, do you not? With our Christian identity as our primary lens, let us in all things carry within ourselves the mind of Christ. Let us apply this perspective in our days, in our hearts, minds, and souls. And I'd like to close with something called the Prayer for Unity. Holy One, your love unites all of us who live on this planet. We are truly brother and sister, joined in spirit through your abiding presence. Gather in your heart all the people who live in situations of marginalization. Enfold all those on the edge of society in your heart of compassion. Guide us to find and enter into actions that which will help relieve the burdens of those who are oppressed. And thank you, Lord, for the immensity of your love. Amen.